It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you. You, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 234-343-1065. That's 234-343-1065. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Toonforce.
Good day, and welcome to a Motivational Monday. It is the 28th. I'm sorry, it is the 25th. That's right. 9 months till Christmas. Did you need to hear that today? This is Speak Out 2.0, live from the Ken Perla Real Estate Tower in Bullhead City. I'm your host, Larry Toonforce. We're here for the next hour. And we're on 106.3 and 106.5 and 106.7. Three frequencies. So you can, depending upon where you live, one of them comes in really well. The other two are probably just a tad scratchy. And then if you travel around, you might have to push your button just one way or the other and flip around just a tad to get us in. This is kind of a different week for Speak Out 2.0. We're actually going to have the sheriff, and then Rusty Cooper, the chief of police of Kingman, on tomorrow, and then Robert Treves, the chief of police of Bullhead, and then Troy Sterling, the chief of police of Havasu, on Thursday, and then Friday, wrap it up with Andrew Schultz, who is the captain of the Arizona DPS for our area. So it's going to be all law enforcement week, and I've typed out questions, so it's going to be good questions for each one of these individuals. So I hope you'll hang in there for the week. A couple things to get to before we get to our guest. First of all, do you need a ham this week for Easter? Well, order it from Susanna with the Historical Society and get a honey-baked ham. They're so good. They're so tender. We did that for Christmas, I believe. Oh, gosh, it was great. But my wife has to work Sunday, so I don't know what we're going to do. But anyways, if you want one, you order it from Susanna and you call her at 928-234-4807. And they're going to go up, I believe, Wednesday to pick them up. And then they bring them back, and then she'll call you and say, come by my house, pick it up. So it's really convenient, and it's kind of a little donation to the Historical Society, so you can help them out, too. All right, now through the 29th, Legacy Foundation and Legacy Connection are seeking inspiring educators for a $2,500, a $1,500, and a $36,500 education grants. Go to tristateconnection.com to apply. And Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, through today, this ends today, Jars of Life, of Love. It's going to be a long show. Jars of Love, peanut butter is what they're looking for. And if you're out and about today, you can pick up a little jar of peanut butter, drop it off to one of the Warm Sea facilities, either the hospital on Silver Creek Road, the urgent care right behind Culver's, or the Imaging Center on Hancock Road would be great. And then also their doctor offices up on the parkway. So the Historical Society is also looking for a refrigerator for the Colorado River Museum. If you can help them out with a donation, or maybe get a refrigerator, you can just go, hey, we're not using this no more. Call Carol Finkelstein, 928-219-2582. And there is a mixer on Thursday morning for Kingman Sunrise Mixer at the Anderson Equipment or Arizona Equipment Repair, 7:30 in the morning till 8:30. Call the Kingman Chamber if you have questions, 928-753-6253. Now, let's change our tunes. You know, on Mondays, we play one band, one artist, one group. And today, we're going back a couple weeks to the Animals, the very best of the Animals.
There is a house in New Orleans.
And, of course, when you are the sheriff, sometimes you get to punt and say, I won't be there, but I will send my very best lieutenant, John Salvino. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Good. You've been here a gazillion times.
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah. So, like I said, I talked about the questions for the top dogs, so you're filling in for the sheriff today.
I am.
So you get to answer these as if you were elected to sheriff. Well, give us your background. You're one of three lieutenants, four lieutenants?
So we have, with our agency, we have two patrol lieutenants, a detective lieutenant, and an administrative lieutenant.
Yeah, so four, yeah. Okay, all right. So what's your background?
So for law enforcement, I started my career here with the sheriff's office back in 2004. I started working in the jail as a detention officer, and I spent a couple months over there before I got brought over to the patrol side where I attended the academy.
Right.
And then after the academy, got out and hit the streets and did basic patrol functions as a regular deputy, and a position opened up about 4 or 5 years into my patrol time where I got selected to go to our narcotics task force. And I was a detective over there for some time. And then I tested to promote to a patrol sergeant, and I went back to patrol for about a year or so, and then an opportunity to go back to the narcotics unit as a patrol or a unit supervisor, and I got that opportunity, and then, again, tested and got an opportunity to promote to a patrol lieutenant, which I am now.
Right.
So I spent about, between 4 and 6 years at each interval, and this year I hit my 20th year.
Wow.
And the time has gone by so quickly, I just don't know. And it must be just because you
changed and you did different things in your career, which is kind of like law enforcement in general. There's so many things you can do besides just driving a black and white car and pulling people over.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of ways to get into unique positions. My son's with the LA County Sheriff's Office, and he's in a computer area where he operates a program that allows deputies and officers and everybody to communicate to each other through the computer.
Right.
So the LA County Sheriff's Office pulls somebody over from Bullhead City, and they don't have a warrant, but they're acting kind of kinky. They can actually go through their computer and talk to Bullhead Dispatch. And so my son's in charge of that, which I'm real happy for. He's not on the street. Wears a uniform every day and a vest, but it's okay with Dad that he's not out there pulling people over and knocking on doors. So, but there are a lot of opportunities within each department. I don't care if it's the local police departments or the sheriff's office. One of the hardest things that I think you're all facing is retention.
Right.
How do you prevent that deputy from leaving and going somewhere else? Especially once he's got experience, he's valuable to everybody.
It's difficult because it's different for each person. And, you see people that, come, there's a drive sometimes for, I guess the benefit is you work for law enforcement agency. Every day is going to be different. You get to help people. You get to do a variety of different things. It's exciting. You see it on TV. Some people, have strived to be a police officer or a deputy for, their entire life. And we've had applicants, in their 40s and 50s. They went down a different career path, and they have an opportunity now to get an employment as a law enforcement officer. But, you have to look at things now too generationally. Different people, as they want different things, and we got to keep them excited, and we got to keep them tuned in. You try to keep things fresh and not stagnant, because sometimes it gets, some of the calls are just pretty routine, and have an opportunity to have specialties and put them somewhere else, and to keep it fresh and alive, that's what we try to do. And the biggest thing is staffing, and I think if we have a little bit more staffing and retain some people, we can have opportunities to put people in different areas and create that type of environment. And I think you have to create that good environment, they're going to want to stay, and they're not going to jump ship for another dollar an hour or whatever it is. And a lot of times that's the case, is you have a good working environment, they're going to stay. Now there are some places where their agencies are giving paying like through the roof, and we see that like in California.
Right.
And, they can afford to do that, and they're enticing people with large sign-on bonuses and whatever else, and people are chasing the dollar. But I think we offer especially the agencies around here, we offer a good working environment and a place to live, and comparatively speaking to some of the, like, the larger metro areas of like Southern California or Las Vegas, you know, cost of living is a little bit, or a lot of, a bit higher.
Right. Yeah, you just went to California for 4 days, so you know what you paid for fuel and food.
I did. I was paying in the range of close to $7 a gallon in the Los Angeles area, and it's just crazy, you know, the amount of traffic and everything else. So we offer definitely a good lifestyle, and that's why we're seeing a lot of these people that, and I'm one of them, that have moved from California or other places to come to our area, because it's the politics and, you know, the cost of living is just, it's more affordable. So
Well, and I think, and from my observation, I think that when you see, like, Bullhead PD, and I'll take Bullhead PD, if you're a patrol officer, there's a chance within the week you're going to pass the chief in the hall.
Right.
You know? You're going to say hi to Chief Treves in the hall because it's a small facility. You know, now, in the sheriff's office, if you work on the strip, you may not see the sheriff for a few years. But but the point is, and in, probably in Havasu and Kingman also, you're going to see the chief probably once a week. You're going to pass him in the hall. You're going to see him in the kitchen. You're going to stand next to him at the urinal. You know, I mean, because your departments are small enough that you can say to him, hey, chief, I got this person today that presented me with this question. You know, and the same with you as the lieutenant with your three substations, your two substations, they're probably going to see you once a week in one of those two stations, you know, so they can say to you, hey, Lieutenant, I know I'm just a deputy out here, but I got this problem today that I had, or this individual who asked me a question. And I think that's something that the smaller Mojave County, the smaller agencies offer that a larger, you know, my son meets the sheriff once a year, all of L.A. County.
Yeah.
And the last time he met him, it was in Las Vegas when they were running the Baker to Vegas run.
Right.
You know, so I think here the smallness, you know, affords that, which makes it a more comfortable agency to work for.
I agree. And, you know, it's, you know, almost, you know, say family like. And, you know, Sheriff Schuster has done a great job. He knows everybody's name, you know, and, you know, not only the people on the patrol side, you know, we have close to like 100 certified officers on the patrol side. We have about, I think, 200 or so in the jail.
Right.
You know, and then we have our civilian staff. So I'm like, you know, the sheriff runs into a lot of people all the time. You know, he remembers their names. I'm like, and that's impressive because you'll see him, you know, at our station, or he'll make his rounds throughout the community. And you know, you have that connection. And same thing with the chief and undersheriff. I'm like, we run into these, our command staff, you know, all the time.
Right.
And especially if you're up in Kingman, that's, you know, where our headquarters is located. You are absolutely going to be sharing the same restrooms, parking lots,
right,
everything else. And like you said, you know, L.A. County being like, I think, 14,000 strong, and you have like LAPD with like 10,000. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people just become a number. So, you know,
you never get past the lieutenant. You might have a station captain that wears a suit and you don't even know his name.
Right. So
or her name.
And sometimes that's a good thing. But, yeah, you know, but you become a number. So there's really no connection. It's very, you know, impersonal the way, just because of the sheer size of their agency.
Sure.
So, you know, being something that's around our, you know, all of ours in the tri-state here or the Arizona area, it's a lot more personal. Everyone knows what's going on. And
don't you think that there's a benefit to, let's take Havasu for a moment. If you're a deputy sheriff in Havasu, you're going to be communicating with a lot of the public out of uniform because you live there.
Right.
Because you're going to be coaching your kid's soccer team. You're going to be going to your daughter's play, you know, and you're going to run into the deputy that you worked with because you bumped into each other at Walmart shopping.
Yeah.
You know, it's the smallness of our communities that I think is a real benefit. You know, because you might run into that deputy while you're at Walmart who says, hey, by the way, did you hear what we caught last night? We caught a call on da-da-da-da-da, you know. So you share that information in that five-minute little basket-to-basket at the store.
Right.
Or you're out there on the soccer field and somebody goes, hey, you know you're a deputy and I live in this part of town and I got an issue, you know. And I think that makes our area unique.
Yeah. You know, there's just having that, and there's a buy-in because where we work and where we're responsible for, that is our community. So we want to, you know, take care of it. So there's a little bit more, you know, ownership in that just because you know, you want to take care of it, not just because it's your job, but I'm like, you have, there's a buy-in for it. It's
you
like,
live there too.
This
yeah.
Is my, yeah, I want to make it better because this is where I live. So absolutely.
Right.
And you're right. You know, we share the same stores. We run to people all the time and, you know, we.
Yeah. And people know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a break. We're already 20 past. Coming up at the top of the hour, Speak Out with Paul Lavoie. And Brother Jim will be in there with Buster Johnson from the Board of Supervisors.
Mojave Electric Cooperative supports higher education and offers an annual scholarship program to students within the MEC service area. Students who are attending college in the fall semester of 2024 are eligible to apply for financial assistance up to $5,000. Apply today. Applications are available at www.mojaveelectric.com and must be received by 5 p.m. on April 26th.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity provider and employer.
People are saying new year, new me. Let ProFit Kitchen help you. Healthy, fresh, and delicious food. 4 different salads, 12 wraps, 10 healthy burgers, 4 delicious bowls, and more for $24. Plus, fresh pressed juices, smoothies, and protein shakes. Dine in, catering, or to go. ProFit Kitchen. Eric's meal prep solutions are the best way to stay the course. Healthy, fresh, delicious. See the complete menu and place your order at ProFit Kitchen. KITCHIN.com.
Spring has arrived, and it's time to revitalize your ride with 66 Auto Sales. If you are in need of a vehicle for your family adventures or a powerful pickup to take off-road, we have the perfect vehicle to tackle your springtime adventures. For nearly 5 decades, 66 Auto Sales has been the cornerstone of Mojave County's automotive needs. Our dedication to customer satisfaction ensures a hassle-free car buying experience before and after the sale. Stop in today and see one of our helpful sales associates or check out our inventory at 66autosales.com.
Whether it's your home or your business, it's time to elevate your online experience with 100% fiber internet from TWN Communications and Mojave Electric Cooperative. We provide fast, reliable service for household and enterprise solutions for companies. Visit TWN.com/Mojave. That's TWNCOMM.com/Mojave. Or call 888-227-2095 to sign up today. Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Cornerstone Mission in Kingman. We're a faith-based nonprofit working for our community for over 21 years. Our mission is to provide the basic necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing, and most importantly, the light of Christ. We rely on our community donations and volunteers. We are asking taxpayers to please take advantage of the Arizona tax credit. Save on your taxes by giving up to $421 filing single or up to $841 jointly. Please consider donating your tax credit to Cornerstone Mission.
All right, I mentioned that Buster Johnson will be on Speak Out 2.0, but the second half of the show at the bottom of the hour, they're going to have Daryl in there. Whoops, why is that? With Crossroads Car Show and Bike Show coming up on the 6th in Lake Havasu, so tune into that. And check that out. Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Hey, when you have an emergency, you want help fast. And if it's serious, like a heart attack or a stroke, every minute matters. That's why it's important that you choose a hospital that's equipped to evaluate and treat serious illnesses. It's going to be a long show. Serious injuries and illnesses. Yes, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center is here and ready to serve you 24/7. Learn more at WesternArizonaER.com. Lothar Ranch Golf Club. Hey, the fitness center. Remodeled. New equipment. It's open right now. You can go in and sign up. Daily, it's a whole $10. For the month, it's $50. And they're open 7 days a week. You got spin bike center, and you got cardio exercises and weight training and steam room. You check it all out. Go to LaughlinRanch.com. Legacy Rehab and Care Center, designed to help patients with a skilled nursing facility that's almost like a home-type setting, including personal care and hygiene assistance, laundry service, housekeeping, beauty shop, barber shop, secured patios, life enrichment activities. Yeah, they get you up to play Wii Golf and all that. It's a great place. Lots of fun. Stop by and check it out for yourself. Legacy Rehab and Care Center, 2812 Silver Creek Road in Bullhead City. All right, we're back with Lieutenant Salvino from the... Now, talk. Can I hear you good? Okay. We switch headsets right there. From the Mojave County Sheriff's Office. And one of the things I wanted to ask is the standards for hiring police officers. Do you think at some point... I mean, right now, the standards for being a cop... Nationwide, everyone's kind of letting them wear beards and mustaches, and
right,
and you even see some with highly tattooed arms, which for me, it's going to be 70 here in a couple months. I'm just like, whoa, wow, what a switch this is. But do you think the standards for hiring police officers should change a little bit, or do you need to keep it up to where it is?
You know, I personally, I think we got to maintain the same standard, and I don't think we should lower it just to accommodate or to gain, you know, more staff. And I know there's been some agencies who are exploring that in other parts of the country, just because they can't get applicants. And I've heard some of the prerequisites were the basics. You had to be like a high school graduate or have a GED. Right. You had to be a citizen of the United States. And some of these things they're looking away from, where, you know, you don't even have to be a citizen anymore, which is a little concerning.
Right.
You know, but I think you have to maintain a certain standard. You know, there's people who still want to do the job, and those are the people we need to attract, and those are the people we want to bring over. And I don't think we should be lowering the standard to accommodate a need that we have. It's just unfortunate, well, it's run with a little bit, I think, fewer staff, but you want a qualified candidate to represent your agency, because, you know, you're entrusting them with a lot of power, there's a lot of liability there, and you want to entrust that you have the right person for the job. And just because someone meets the new minimum qualifications, if they were to change, doesn't mean it's going to be a good thing. That could probably create more problems down the road that is going to, you know, result in, you know, injury or big, you know, right, liability to the city or the county or the state. Yeah. And, you know, they've been put in place. They've been good this long. I think we should, you know, keep going.
As the patrol commander for Havasu and Mojave Valley, what worries you with the issues that your deputies are going to come in contact with?
You know, we're pretty fortunate that, you know, we have a good community that we work for. We don't have anything really that stands out. We have a typical response to domestics and response, sure, to, you know, collisions. And we see some things every now and then are kind of heinous, but, you know, we get through it. But there's no one thing, I think, that's just out there. You know, I think with a lot of agencies, too, we're just seeing an influx of, you know, there's a drug problem. And,
right,
you know, we're seeing that come out. And that's a concern of mine, is, you know, we're coming across stuff that's tainted, you know, drugs that we were familiar with are now being tainted with, like, fentanyl, which is,
correct,
you know, terrible, because you don't know what's in it. They don't know what's in it half the time, and we're seeing, you know, people, just general public going down, or now we're seeing videos come across that deputies or officers throughout the country, you know, are going down because they're getting contacted. They're contacting.
Right. They have the issue.
They have it, and their partner or, you know, the fire department's there to save them and bring them back, and then they get treated. But I'm like, that's the unknown, is what we thought we knew before is now being contaminated with,
right,
something that's so dangerous and lethal. You know, we don't know. And, you know, it's unfortunate that sometimes, you know, we work a lot of times by ourselves, and, like, we can come,
right,
in contact with somebody. It's like, it adds, yeah, another level of danger to it, just because it's, you know, you can't be complacent. And, like, we tell the guys, you know, you got to make sure you glove up, be careful what you're doing. And, you know, we issue everybody, you know, Narcan if we need to, and we're sometimes are the first responders to respond to some of these overdose calls. And, you know, I tell them, I go, if you're the first on scene, you know, make sure you got people coming, because they can get that contact when they're trying to revive that person that's gone down, and it's not going to do them or you any good if you go down as well.
Well, and you almost, you know, because the Narcan comes in a little box. There's a box sitting here on my desk that your team brought down. But you might almost want to stick a little mask in there to throw on at the same time for yourself, you know, go back to the COVID blue mask, just to make sure that you're not going to inhale something that this individual still has laying on his shirt or whatever when you're trying to you know, insert the Narcan and save his life.
Right.
Yeah. Your department's a part of the of Magnet, right?
Yes.
The sheriff's office.
Yes.
And Magnet is basically, for the listeners that don't know, it's a countywide team of all the agencies, officers and deputies assigned to the team, working together in Havasu, Kingman, and Bullhead.
Right.
And all the county area in between.
Right.
Do you come across them a lot in your day-to-day? Are you having to back them up? And are they, say, are they contacting you? Lieutenant, we're going to go to a house this morning at 9:30 and wiki up, and we need some backup.
So, yeah, on occasion, they'll reach out to us when they do something. And, you know, I'm fortunate to have been part of Magnet for, you know, as a detective and,
right.
and a unit supervisor. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. And for the typical new deputy or officer, a lot of times they don't necessarily see them because they have their own location.
Sure.
They do their own thing.
Yep.
And they work on a whole bunch of big cases. So we don't know until the day something happens because, you know, it's all about operational security. You don't
sure.
want to let the cat out of the bag.
Right.
And it's not like anything nefarious is going on. It's just like, you know, we all like to talk and kind of gossip about, hey, what's going on? And you don't want to let something slip out. And it's like, oh, by the way, because you don't know, you know who's listening to it.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of cases. They collaborate with, you know, federal, you know, the DEA. They provide a lot of resources to us. We work with a lot of other state agencies, and we network. That's the thing of being with the task force is we're networking with a whole bunch of other agencies, like in the Phoenix area and Southern California, because those are two locations of origin for
sending people our way.
Well, where the drugs are coming from, and not necessarily that's destined for our area per se, but, you know, people are driving through Kingman to go to Vegas,
right.
or people are driving through, you know,
I-40,
I-40, and it's coming. It just happens to be coming through our area. So these agencies know this, and you know they want us to, you know, help them out or whatnot. Or if we end up catching something, like we interdict a large drug shipment, and then we'll reach back like, hey, this looks like it originated from Barstow or
right.
Bakersfield, and like, oh, we know about that. So we kind of, you know, we further the investigation. So that might help them on their side. And if it's destined for our area, they're like, hey, it's coming over here. That's going to help us identify some people too, and we further investigation on our end. So there's a lot of collaboration between the agencies.
All right, let's take a break. Half past the hour.
Ready.
Couple more things to tell you about. Whoops. The Bighorn Trek Showcase for Higher Education is this Thursday in Bullhead City at MCC Bullhead City Campus from 9 o'clock until 2. Any questions, call the campus, 928-758-3926. And Thursday or Friday morning is the Laughlin Chamber Business Breakfast at the Chamber office at 8:30. Call the Chamber or RSVP if you plan on going to info@laughlinchamber.com.
Amazing care happens in Western Arizona Regional Medical Center's Fast ER. We keep hearts beating, keep lungs breathing, stop strokes, and we are always ready to care for a multitude of serious injuries and illnesses. If it's a heart attack, remember that Fast Care can stop heart damage and let healing begin. Act quickly to seek care and know that we're ready in a heartbeat. For more information, visit WesternArizonaER.com.
Perkins Family Restaurant and Bakery delivers with Butcher Block, breakfast hearty man's combo or steak quesadilla, or country fried steak and eggs for lunch or dinner. First breakfast is served from open to close. Ask about pigs in a blanket, or how about steak and peppers, skillet, veggies, and mushrooms. With over 100 favorite Coke choices, it's yummy Butcher Block breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Only at Perkins Family Restaurant Bakery, Bullhead City. Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City is looking to hire a speech-language pathologist, physical therapist, and a certified occupational therapy assistant. You'll provide in-house therapy focusing on patients with low productivity. And you're guaranteed 30 hours per week with great benefits, including a matching 401k. Call the Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City today at 928-763-1404 or apply online at thelegacyrehab.com. That's thelegacyrehab.com.
Anderson launches summer on the lake with the 33rd running of the Lake Havasu Boat Show. The pride of the Lake Havasu Marine Association kicks off April 19th and runs through the 21st. See the newest and best in boating bargains at Windsor 4 from over 140 vendors, plus a cornhole tournament, live entertainment on the Radio Central stage, and a food court featuring Budweiser products. Plan now to attend the largest outdoor boat show in the West, April 19th through the 21st.
You can hear KNTR talk numerous ways. On the radio at 106.7 via translator K294CQ for Lake Havasu City and Parker. 106.5 for Bullhead City, Laughlin, Needles, and Havasu Heights on translator K292EU. And 106.3 via translator K29GC in Kingman and Golden Valley. You can also hear KNTR talk at KJJJ HD2. Go to KNTRTalk.com for audio streaming and on your portable device with the TuneIn app. KNTR Talk, the voice of the free.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from the Ken Perella Real Estate Tower in downtown Bullhead City on Highway 95, brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative. MEC and the Arizona Cooperative Power Cooperative want to help you with a full understanding of the proposed Mojave Energy Park. Now, the generation and transmission of reliable, affordable electricity is still in the planning phase, so understand that. So, to get the up-to-date information, the Arizona Electric Power Cooperative has created a special website just for this project called MojaveEnergyPark.com. Okay? Now, if you go there and you don't find everything, that's because it's in the planning phases. You know, you don't start building a house with a roof. It takes a while to get to the roof. So, understand that. If you have burning questions that you want answered, call 928-763-1110. 66 Auto Sales, Mojave County's largest pre-owned vehicle lot. Yeah, selling pre-owned cars for almost 50 years in Mojave County. Holy cow. Same location on Route 66 in Kingman on the same corner. A huge selection. Two doors, four doors, vans, trucks, economy cars, luxury cars, four-wheel drive. What do you want? You know, SUV? They got them. Piece of cake. Go see 66 Auto Sales. At least go to the website and see what's on the lot. They update it all the time. You can go to 66auto.com. Mojave Mortgage. Hey, it's 2024. Is it time for you to buy a house? Maybe a vacation home. Maybe you want to just, you know, buy a little mobile home somewhere. Or you want a pool in the backyard. Well, you're going to need some cash. So call the founder and CEO, Chad Hansen at Mojave Mortgage. He's got a vault full of cash. Oh, yeah. Oh, banks call it. Yeah, that's how much. He took a Trump call the other day. Yeah, he said, "Can I borrow some money out of your vault?" I don't know how the conversation went. I just know that the call was placed. That's all I know. So when Trump's calling Chad Hansen, you know he's got money that you can use to buy a house. Call him at 928-288-2691. Don't disguise your voice and try to be Trump. Just call him up and say, "We want to buy a house. We got, you know, we need 300 grand. Come on in," he'll say. "I got it." He'll sit there and chat with you, give you some paper to fill out. Then, boom, he disappears in the vault and brings you back 300 grand cash on a silver platter. It's that easy. Well, almost. Call him up, 928-288-2691. All right, we're back with the lieutenant. And one of the things that you were talking about fentanyl there before we went to the break, and are your troops in the field going on a lot of these calls where there's fentanyl overdoses?
It seems like they are increasing. But it comes in spurts, you know, so I'm not sure what that's really attributed to. But sometimes, you know, we'll go for some time where we don't run any overdose calls. And sometimes we're getting two and three kind of like, you know, right in a row type of thing. So, you know, we receive training on what to recognize and what to do and to, you know, administer Narcan and whatnot, but it's always, you know, be careful. Even the day-to-day, we might be going to a call for something totally unrelated. You know, it could be a domestic or it could be, you know, some type of property crime or follow-up or even a traffic stop, and we can encounter that type of stuff. So it's always be prepared and,
right,
you know, always, you know, use the you know, cautious that if you're searching a car or doing something for whatever reason, and something could be in there, it could be trace amounts, and it doesn't take a lot to to be effective. So.
And probably when you started as a deputy, did you carry EMS gloves in the car?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Because now you probably put them on a lot of calls, don't you?
A lot.
Because you don't know what you're going to be getting in contact with.
Well, working in the jail, those, you know, always.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I had a thing like glove on. You know, you're searching people all the time, so that just became a habit. Is
right.
You're going to want to be careful, you know, who you touch and whatever else. And so, especially in the field now, as we're dealing with the drug aspect of it, or sometimes people, you know, they have open sores from drug use.
Right.
Or, there's this, you just want to have that contact. And, you know, again, it's do everything we can to mitigate and be safe so we go home at the end of the night. So besides that, just one more thing to be cautious of. You know, we don't want to contract anything. We don't want to have any blood exposure or anything like that. So anything we can, hey, use the protective equipment that we provide.
Well, you know, we're fortunate in Mojave County. We don't see a lot of the national crimes here. And I guess the one I want to focus on was the school shooting in Texas.
Okay.
Where I think that every law enforcement officer across the country looked at that and went, that did not go well from the law enforcement perspective.
Right.
I mean, I think the chief has now been terminated, but, I mean, he was there and didn't want to take command. And your agency, do you guys sit back at some point in time and review some of these things and talk about them? Not just BS around the break table, but, I mean, in an informative way how your department would handle this if it happened tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, we had serious conversations on different levels, like with the personnel who worked for me, and we've talked about it too, you know, at higher levels. It's and it's hard not to, but, you know, we all do, you know, Monday morning, you know,
quarterback
it.
Sure.
And, you know, we weren't there, but, you know, you start looking at all the stuff, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of things that probably went wrong that, you know, were like, And just the time, you know, I guess I've been here a long time now, but, you know, we've had instances, you know, thankfully nothing to that
level
yeah, absolutely. Right. But, you know, we've had instances where, you know, direction is we're just going to go in. We're going to go in and we're going to handle it. I'm like, that's kind of what we've been trained to do. And that's like the mindset of, about all the personnel that I know that work for us. I'm like, we've talked about it and, you know, we have a SWAT team. And we have tactics, we have different levels of training, but, you know, from the new person from, you know, who's been on a year to the person who's been on 20, if we get that call, we're going. And, you know, there's really going to be no hesitation. At least we don't see anything. And so for them to, you know, I guess react that way, like I said, it's hard to really say why, but
right.
At least for us, and I think that our neighboring or partner agencies, I think they're in the same mindset. Like, we have this, and we had a, you know, scare, that I was a part of, maybe it's like 10 years ago, that someone was on the grounds of a school, and we went there, and I'm like, man, Bullet PD showed up with a whole bunch of resources right away. San Bernardino, we had Parks Department, BLM. We had all these agencies just show up. You know, we put the call out because that's what we thought we had.
Sure.
And you got to treat it as being real, and it came out, and it was a good practice exercise, but we just saw everyone come together, and we all, you know, it was an excellent learning experience. And this is before we had as many events we have nationally that are going on. So,
and what about continued training? Because when these events happen, and I'm sure there's companies across the United States that they specialize in training cops. So if they take their time and evaluate Texas and how it went and how it went wrong, are there videos? Are there training CDs? Is there websites that your deputies have to go on a regular basis and check to take training classes, or?
You know, I'm sure there might be some of that stuff out there like that. And I know sometimes we go to trainings that are hosted outside of our agency, and not everyone's going to be able to go to these trainings, but they go to them, and if there's anything worthwhile, they come back and they bring it back to us. And sometimes we take that information, we push it out to everybody. But again, it's mostly through the, working collaboratively with our neighboring agencies and, you know, doing scenarios and working with our tactical team and coming up with different, you know, scenarios and real-world training to if we have to encounter that. But
right. And Mojave County Sheriff's Office has K-9.
Yes.
In fact, Bruno was at our Kiwanis Kids Expo the other day. Yeah. He didn't bring him out because I guess the officer, the deputy himself had just had some surgery and was just coming back on shift.
Right.
And he said, I'm probably not going to bring him out because he's going to pull me, and I really can't have that happen. And I go, I'm okay with that. Don't worry. You know, everyone knows what a dog looks like. So yeah. They don't. And then besides that, you know, when you take out a working dog, everybody still thinks that they can pet it.
Right.
So I said, it's probably a good thing you're not bringing him out. So, but he was there and he was walking around. With your canine, don't you find that, they're very helpful in the field, and that obviously they're the deputy's backup 90% of the time?
They're great, you know, and I know we talked about this before, but yeah, the canines are great. We got one up on the Arizona Strip. We got one here that was assigned to River District, and then we have two that are up in Kingman, and one's handled by a sergeant up there, and they're great. So all of our dogs currently are all they're multi-purpose or dual-purpose dogs. They do drug detection,
right,
and they also do handler protection. And amongst that, too, they also can do tracking or, like, article searches and stuff,
right,
and whatnot. So, unlike we've had people flee from a traffic stop or flee from a residence we're doing a search warrant on, that dog can be deployed and track that person down.
Follow them right through the bush.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I'm like, you know, they'll have a jump on us, or clearly we can't run nearly as fast as a dog. We can let them go. It all depends on the circumstances of what we're using the dog for.
Right.
But if we're doing tracking, like, you know, they're going to be in the lead, and they're going to go off, and they're going to point us in the direction of where that subject went.
And the deputies that have the dogs, they get together as a unit and train regularly, right?
Yeah, so typically they're training at least typically once a week for 8 to 10 hours every week. There's like a standard, and we always exceed the standard because we want our dogs to be very proficient, not only for, you know, drug detection, because that could get called into like court for,
right,
for make sure that they're up to the standard. We also want to make sure that they're good with, you know, the handler protection, their recalls, all their commands. So then if we need to call them back before they go and get after somebody,
they stop.
And, you know, all our dogs, they go through annual proficiency testing for, I believe, a week, and they always get recertified to make sure that they maintain that standard.
Right.
And all our dogs are great. We're looking to add more dogs. And not only for that, but, you know, some other specific functions.
And then DPS has dogs, too.
Yes.
So will you call their dogs in sometimes if yours aren't available or guys on vacation or something?
Yeah, and again, we kind of work together, so we all know who's got what assets and what dogs. And sometimes, you know, like if we have a deputy who's sustained some type of injury, he's on light duty or something,
right,
and we require a dog, yeah, we might reach out to a neighboring agency like the DPS to provide that service, or one of our dogs from a different district to come and respond, because we are a county, so it really doesn't matter. It's just a matter. The only difference is where they're coming from, how long is it going to take us to get there. So if we need to, we could get our dog from the Strip, but do we need the dog to be here in 4 hours or, you know, 4 minutes? So
as a lieutenant with the sheriff's office, you're part of the command staff. I mean, when you and the chief and the deputy chief and the sheriff and when you guys sit down and you talk at a table and you address problems and issues, what's the big concern at the table?
Depends what the conversation's about, you know. I think we have good dialogue between all of us,
right.
So we get to work things out. And it's really hard to identify, you know, one particular issue. But, you know, I think what we want to do is we're very transparent, and we like to relay that to the troops under us.
Okay.
Because a lot of times if we have changes in the way we do employ our tactics or our policy or something, years past, like when I first started, and like many others, is you're doing this because I told you to, or that's the way we've always done it. It doesn't quite work the same now with some of the new people, the younger generation.
Okay.
It's the why. So, you know, a lot of it is explained here. We're making a change, and we're explaining to them why, and then we get a little bit better response with the buy-in as to, like, here's why we're doing this and why, and it makes sense. And like, okay, then they might have questions. I think that's the biggest thing, is being able to explain what we're doing, what changes are coming about, and for what reason. But I don't think there's one thing in general that, you know, there's a huge concern. Obviously, we're topic that we're always on is, you know, recruitment and retention.
Sure.
Is we want to continue to hire people, higher quality candidates, and we want to retain them. Because after we get them, great, we got them in the door. What do we need to do to keep them? Not only them, the new people, the people who've been here that, you know, 3 to 5 or 7 year mark, we don't want to lose them to a neighboring agency or somewhere else. Now, there's sometimes people go through life changes and they want to relocate their family to another part of the state or even outside the state.
Yeah.
So that's kind of inevitable, but we want to provide that working environment that they want to stay in.
I like it. And let's take our last break. Tomorrow on the program, Chief of Police from Kingman, Rusty Cooper, will be here. And we're going to come right back and wrap up this conversation.
If you ever change your mind about leaving me.
Interest rates. The fight continues. Hello, Chad Hansen here, founder and CEO of Mojave Mortgage. It's no secret that interest rates have been savage lately, but rest assured that Mojave Mortgage is here to help you combat the high interest rates of the retail lenders with wholesale pricing and best-in-class customer service. Visit us at MojaveMortgages.com, where we invite you to be savage, not average.
Hi, my name is Colin Savage, and I approve this message.
Mojave Mortgage, NMLS 1830581, Equal Housing Lender, Arizona License 1001852.
Laughlin Ranch Golf Club has a stunning 18-hole golf course wrapped around lakes, natural desert landscaping, with awesome mountain views on every hole. Golf club amenities include clubhouse, pro shop, spa, and a restaurant overlooking the greens. The course is in tip-top shape after reseeding. Enjoy Arizona's number 2 rated golf course, minutes from the Laughlin Casinos off the Bullhead Parkway. Book your tee time starting at 7 a.m. at LaughlinRanch.com.
No one cares for bed bugs, termites, spiders, or scorpions. When residents see them, they call Barron Pest Solutions. With over 50 years' experience, Barron Pest Solutions are professionals when it comes to pest removal and preventing them from returning. If you have critters around your home that you want gone, call Barron at 928-758-5499. Monthly services available even for winter visitors. 758-5499. Barron Pest Solutions. Quality experience. Family.
Do you know about 211 Arizona? It's a free service to connect you with resources anywhere in Arizona. Housing assistance and eviction prevention, transportation and ride services, healthcare benefits, food resources, and even utility bill support. Talk to a live operator in English or Spanish 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Just dial 211 or visit 211arizona.org. Get connected, get answers, and get the help you need. This message is sponsored by 211 Arizona.
This is our town, the place we call home.
Here is the Our Town calendar.
Swing for a Sir Optimus charity golf tournament is set for Saturday, March 30th at Lake Havasu Golf Club West. $100 per player with a $20 discount for club members. Email swingforsiroptimus@outlook.com for more details. Mojave County District 1 Republicans in Kingman announced the 77th annual Lincoln Day Dinner is set for Saturday, April 13th inside the Mojave County Fairgrounds Event Center. The keynote speaker is U.S. Senate candidate Kerry Lake, and this year's theme is Denim and Diamonds. More info and tickets, call 928-279-1411. Also that Saturday, a food truck fiesta is coming with the Street Eats on 66 event at Lewis Kingman Park on Andy Devine. Kids Fun Zone, Beer Garden, live music, $5 admission. All proceeds go to Kingman Charities. Go to the events tab at KingmanChamber.com.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, live from the Ken Perella Real Estate Tower, brought to you by Perkins Family Restaurant and Bakery. Nothing better than pies for Easter. Brunch or dinner? What do you want? Banana cream? Chocolate French silk? Oh, yeah. How about pumpkin? How about lemon meringue? How about coconut cream? Oh, or how about some chocolate chip cookies? You know, my wife got something the other day. We had dinner there Saturday night after the kids' expo, and she took cookies to work. And I stole one of the sugar cookies out of there. Oh, gosh, it was so good. Oh, Perkins Family Restaurant and Bakery in Bullhead City. Barron Services, oh, you're professional. They just texted me. They're coming to my house tomorrow at 2:15. Professionals in fire and security alarm systems, home or commercial, and professionals in pest solutions, home or commercial. If you got a house and you got creepy crawlers, call them. I don't have any. No, because they come every month. Yep. every single. They text me and say we're going to be there tomorrow between 2 and 2:15. Perfect. Look at that. That's customer service at the best. Call Barron's. Quality, experience, and family. 928-758-5499. Pro Fit Kitchen, oh, the healthy restaurant in the Riverview Mall, and now in downtown Kingman. Oh, yeah, healthy, delicious, fresh food, 4 different salads, 12 wraps, 10 healthy burgers, 4 delicious bowls, smoothies, protein shakes, dine in or take out, and then you can go on their website and you can order your food. It'll be ready when you get there. And if you're in Kingman, you can drive up to the window and say, I'm here to pick up my food. Yeah. Go to ProFitKitchen, KITCHIN.com. TWN Communications Online. Oh, yes. 100% fiber internet from TWN Communications. Available in Bullhead City, Fort Mojave, and they're coming to Golden Shores. Go to TWNcom, that's com/Mojave. Over 23,000 connections out there right now. And we got about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left here with the lieutenant. And speaking of TWN, you're going to have TWN in your new substation in Mojave Valley.
We are.
Yeah. You're going to love that.
Yeah.
Your internet will never fail. It will never slow down. You're going to score. You're going to be just happy. You're going to look at the building. You're going to go, yeah, this is cool. But when you realize every time you want to do a report and it doesn't go down, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with internet's, you know, I don't know how law enforcement did it. You know, back in the day, you're typing a report on a typewriter and you're reporting. Now everything's done electronically. So between electronic report writing and crash report writing, we use body cameras now, or we have been for the last couple of years. And that's a lot of video data that's captured on there. And to do it on something other than like a high speed connection, that thing's going to take forever to upload. You know, these guys are out there on shift 8 to 10 hours. They're capturing hours and hours of video for all contacts. We've got to put in a dock to upload to the cloud, and you know, we need a fast connection. If not, I'm like, we're just going to be there forever.
Yeah. He's going to work. He's going to come back the next morning and put on his camera on. It's still not uploaded. When you talk about the substation, when do you think you'll open in Mojave Valley?
Oh, man. You know, it's hard to say. There's some things that we're doing with some build-out and whatnot, and we have to go through the county process to acquire, you know, someone to bid on it and get approved.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in limbo there, but I'm thinking sometime, you know, the first half of the year. So sometime, I think, before June.
Okay.
You know, it could be sooner, but I think by the time we get everything done and the build out and moving from our old location to our new location, you know, I think that's a safe bet. But
okay. One last question, and then we're out of time. Do you find the public abuses 911?
A few times. And
they don't use a non-emergency line when they should?
So I think it's like two things. You got people who clearly, they believe in their mind it's an emergency. And to them, it makes sense. It's an emergency for them, so they're just calling 911. But when you look at it, you look outside looking in, it's not an emergency. And then other people, yeah, they're just calling because that's the only number they know. And, you know, yeah.
Lieutenant, thank you so much for filling in for the sheriff today.
Of course.
He owes you.
He says next time he'll be here.
Yeah.
So
I'll buy it. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, folks. That's going to can it for the tune. I'm out of here. Have a great day. Tomorrow, Rusty Cooper, Kingman Chief of Police, will be here. And Buster Johnson's in your ears in just a couple minutes from Lake Havasu City. Everyone, have a great day. Good enough. Girl, I want to provide for you and do all the things that you want.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.